I just got news from Charlie that Grace Hansen's niece, Tina, had passed away this morning. So I just want to take time to pray for her, that all of us would take time to pray for her, for Grace, and as well that Tina had a 12-year-old daughter too. So just her name was Olivia, and then their mom, Elsie, and other siblings and stuff too, just to lift them up. I personally don't know where all of them are with their relationships with God too. So let's just do that right now. Let's just take time to pray for them. Father, I just thank you for Grace. And we know that you are in this and that this has gone on. And you see it and it is not past you what has happened. And I just ask this morning that all involved with this passing of Tina would know that you are gracious and that you are a compassionate and a hearing God and a seeing God. And if this is opportunity for any of them to really put their faith in you and to trust in you fully, that they would take this opportunity that's before them this day. And I know that with this being so fresh, that their hearts are saddened by the news. When we have a close one to us that is taken so quickly, it's hard. So I just ask that your Spirit would do its work in that family. And as well too with Mark, with his passing, I just ask that your Spirit would do its work within their family as well as they're coming close to having their funeral. And it was something quick too that happened very suddenly. And again, a lot of emotions can come up in those times. So I just thank you, Father, that we were able to join together to pray on behalf of these ones that are now still alive, that feel the hurt of their loved ones that are taken so quickly and so abruptly. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh yes, my wife just reminded me too. The family to pray for this week, each week we're doing a family to pray for. And the one that has been chosen this week is Les and Donna Munn. So if you think of them, pray for them and their children too. Pray for them. Call them. Encourage them if you can. But whenever you think about them, take that time and ask the Lord to encourage them. Thanks for reminding me. I gotta get used to this mic too here with like flicking the mute and stuff off, and then whenever I start talking to somebody and I don't flick the mute off, if they don't turn it off back there, I start to hear myself in it. Funny story, I heard that one time didn't go so well. They actually went to the washroom and then everyone heard stuff in the washroom and the thing was still on. So hopefully I never do that. I'm just going to open my computer here. Have you guys all had a joyous week? Amen. I heard one amen and one yes. So I kind of wonder if the rest have not had a joyous week. Oh, yep. Whatever's on the outside of those does not work good. Anyways, okay, that's dealt with. So as Andrew read this morning from Luke, we're going to go through that a little bit here today, well, or a lot. We're going to go through Luke 1:46 to 56. And I just want the men to know today that we're going to be talking a lot about women. So be thankful for women, because they are a major role in the Lord's work. They're chosen by God just as men are chosen by God. So if you don't believe that, though, to any men, please come to me afterwards and I'll sharpen you with the sword. I'm going to kind of start with a bit of a sad story. And I'm going to use Rachel and I's story from before coming here with the last two Christmases. They haven't been the greatest for us. And they've been sad for us. They've not been a joyous time in the sense of situations going on with us with miscarriages, which you all have kind of heard a bit already, that we had two miscarriages within the last 2 years. And then it's an exciting moment. It's a joyous moment to find out that someone is pregnant, as Mary found out she was pregnant. It's a great moment. It's an exciting moment. And it always should be an exciting moment. And I know there are some who don't find it exciting and decide to take the other option and to murder their babies, abortion. So, at 14 weeks, we had our first miscarriage. And this was after, so we had not been pregnant for 7 years. Well, Rachel specifically, I can't get pregnant. So for 7 years, we had not been pregnant, roughly. Rachel, not pregnant. And then we ended up finding out that she was. So this was exciting news. We were a little bit shocked at this news, too. So we went with the flow, as we had to. And 14 weeks later, we ended up finding out that the baby had passed, and we delivered our baby. So that December, that was pretty close to Christmas. So that December was very heavy. We were dealing with a lot of things, because after the situation with the birth of the baby, then she had to have day surgeries that ended up affecting her with the different medications that they had given, and to be put under all that stuff, she reacted to all the side effects. So then we were dealing with that. But then later on, as she was doing better, 4 months later, roughly, we ended up getting pregnant again. She got pregnant again. And we were excited, but at the same time, I was just frustrated, uncertain what was going to happen because of the last situation, and just dealing with her physical effects too, and just the little dealing with emotions that were going on within our home, within our family. But again, we went forward with it, and others encouraged us. This is an exciting time. You lost one, but now you've been brought back with another, is what they said to us, which is true. So we were excited about what was going on, what was going to be happening in our lives again. But again, the Lord decided differently to take this child as well. So again, sadness hit our home. And then we had the other issues that went on after that. We had to, again, end up in the hospital for Rachel, and she ended up having to do the day surgeries again. And then the reactions that happened after that physically for her. So there was a lot of weight in those times. And it was over the last two Christmases that this had happened, pretty close to the same amount of time in the time range for all of them. And with our situation, I could become bitter, I could become frustrated, but it isn't going to fix the situation. The situation is what it is. And it's no different than with Grace, with Tina, right? There's a death. We understand that death does come to all of us, and it will come to all of us. We can't deny the fact of that. But there is something greater, and there is something more that we can have joy in. Because all these situations will happen to many situations, not specifically miscarriage for everyone, but these situations will happen to us in our lives. Most likely all of us will have someone pass in our lives. But this Advent, we're celebrating something that is joyous, something that is exciting. And let us not forget to be excited in this time. Mary herself was under heaviness of her culture in her day. I had talked about this last week a bit too, with what was going on around them, that they were just regular people like us who were serving the Lord, seeking after that Savior that was to come. We have the risen Christ. He has come, but he is coming again. He has been born, he has died, he has risen, and he is coming back again. We have excitement of the future glory that is about to happen. They were excited about the glory that was to come in a birth. We were watching the nativity scene, I believe it's called. We watch it pretty well every Christmas time. And if any of you have seen it, the nativity scene. Anyways, after she gives birth to Christ, when the shepherds are there, she hands the baby, she kind of pushes the baby out towards one of the shepherds, and she says, like, he is for all people, I think is how she says it. But it just reminds you of that it is for all people. Christ is for all people. It wasn't just stifled in a manger and left there. He is for all people. And we have that good news to share with all people. Something that can steal our joy, though, there are four things. I had read this a while, many years back in a book, and they said circumstances, people, things, and worry. And I agree with this concept. It's true. Circumstances, people, things, and worry. My situation, worry. People were involved with it. People had their thoughts as well in the midst of that situation, whether they were negative or positive. So don't let people, circumstances, and things, and worry take over your life. Because it will stifle you. It will stifle your walk with Christ. It will stifle your excitement that is now at this time of season. Again, Mary was a real person. She most likely had real battles going on in her life. Maybe trials or situations. We don't know. The text doesn't fully say to us. But she was hoping in the day when God would bring joy, a Savior. So look at this Advent with joy, knowing all who believe have joy in a Savior who was born through a virgin. No matter the conflicts that we face in life, know that God was willing to send his Son in the flesh to redeem us. Our sadness is lifted. And I hope that if you feel heavy burdened, that you would come and see God's good news this morning. So true joy is found in our Savior. Three kind of points that we will get to today is three women who found joy. The second is unspeakable, the unspeakable thing. And the third one is, three. The third one is Mary's song, and she is, Mary's song, a prophetess. First, we're going to start with three women who found joy. We are going to get into our text specifically in chapter 1, verses 46 to 56, but it won't be for a bit. Three women who found joy. As I said earlier, have been excited to find out that my wife was pregnant each time that she was. It was a joy. I'm sure Mary felt joy at the birth of Christ. And Elizabeth felt joy. And we have a visitation that's going on in Luke 1, 39 to 49 with Mary and Elizabeth, where they join together, they visit together, dine together, eat together. Mary stays there for a period of time. And these two women, Elizabeth and Mary, had been blessed in their wombs. First Elizabeth, she finds out, advanced in years, so elderly, but would bear a child. Her reproach had been removed from her. This is from Luke 1:25. And Mary blessed with life from the Spirit as well. That's in Luke 1:35. I don't know, but sometimes when I hear about the elderly, I think with Sarah, when she was older and she's able to bear a child, in her old age when she's not able to bear anymore. I don't know. I know there's women here today, but sometimes I wonder, like, would you guys be excited if you found out you're pregnant? I mean, if it was your first baby, Maybe that gives a little bit more excitement to it too, but sometimes I just wonder. The text tells us that she was excited, that they were excited every time, but it makes me giggle when I think about it. In Genesis 30, 22 to 23, Rachel is given a son. Not my Rachel here, Genesis and Genesis, Jacob's, is given a son, and her reproach was taken from her because God remembered her. Our God is a God who remembers, a God who sees, a God who hears. Our God is not made by human hands or carried around like man-made idols that can do nothing without the help of its maker. Psalms 113:9 says, He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Psalms 113:9, it says that. Do you guys remember the account of Hannah? 1 Samuel? She longed to have a child of her own, a son. And she prayed to the Lord in 1 Samuel 1:11, asking the Lord, Remember me. And do not forget, and not forget your servant. Remember me. He did remember her. As we know from the account, Samuel comes about. And if he gave her a child, by opening her womb, she would give it to the Lord. And he did give her that child, and she did give that child to the Lord. Eli, in that story, thought she was drunk when she had come to the temple to pray. But finding out that she was not drunk and that she was pleading with the Lord, he sent her away in peace, saying, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you petition that you have made to him. 1 Samuel 1:17. God did remember her and granted her a child. 1 Samuel 1:20. And his name was Samuel. Unbelievable joy was brought to Hannah, and her reproach was taken away. Now, back to Elizabeth. This son, who is to be called John, will be born through an aged woman. From this child, John, who will have joy and gladness, 1:14 of Luke, he is going to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Luke 1:17. I want to remind us that there are women who are servants of God who have never had a child and may never have a child. That does not mean that God does not see you or hear you. He does. He has great plans, and he has a will set for you to do the kingdom work. But today we are talking about birth of our Savior. And all this behind me, it brings excitement to the joy that we have been given in our Savior. We all know that conception happens with a man and a woman. Hopefully, we all know that. Through Elizabeth and Rachel and Hannah and their husbands, God opened their wombs and they had sons. But Mary's story is much different. She was betrothed to Joseph, but still a virgin, Luke 1:34. But with a child. There's sometimes maybe thoughts on this. Joseph and Mary had never consummated. They had never been together. But Joseph and Mary were set by God. So just stop and think about it for a second, though. His betrothed is pregnant. He had nothing to do with it. This is a miracle in itself. I find that sometimes we can forget the miracle that happened in this time as well, that the Spirit put upon her, that she would have a baby growing with inside her, a woman to conceive without a man. Ultimately, scientists everywhere, doctors everywhere could never answer this. It is the Spirit of God that did it. From the beginning, we know that God said that man and woman should join together. Genesis 2:24, two becoming one and being fruitful and multiplying, Genesis 1:28. I state this fact with last Sunday service in mind. When I said that the world is not at peace because is not at peace. We were talking about peace, and the world is not at peace, but there is peace in our Savior. True peace. He is true peace. But they're believing that people can just say they are male or female and get a doctor to make them male or female on the outside. But no man can change the inside of our genetics. We are either male or we are female. All the hormone treatments in the world will not make you male or female. Man was created, and woman was created from man. Again, Genesis 1 and 2. Take time to read it. Everyone is either male or female. So let's not forget. If anyone chooses to have their body mutilated in this way, and they find joy, because this is something we must not forget. It is really a major factor too. Because if someone does choose to do that, that they try to make themselves become what they're not, either a male or female, they too can find joy in Christ through belief and repent and be saved, having hope and peace and joy. Okay, rabbit trail, let's move on now. Mary, being with child, would have looked at what she would, so let me say that again. Mary, being with child, would have looked as though she was disgraced. She would have been disgraced by the people with having a child within her, because they don't know who the husband. I mean, she has Joseph there, her betrothed, but they know, everyone knows, they haven't been together in that way. So there's an issue. They're thinking something's off here with this. May have been thinking. Text doesn't specifically say, but the law itself says in Deuteronomy 22:13-22 that she should have been stoned. So this pregnant woman, who was supposed to be betrothed to Joseph, is now pregnant. But disgrace does not fall on Mary. God doesn't just throw her out there and leave her. Joy is coming through Mary. As we know from the story in Matthew 1:19-25, Joseph was a just man. And unwilling to put her to shame. And that as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Again, in Luke 1:35, let's read together. If you're still in your Bibles, in Luke 1:35, it says, and the angel answered her, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. She was to conceive by the Holy Spirit, not by man's doing. So Joseph loved his wife and knew her not until the birth of Jesus, Matthew 1:25. Any shame that was to come to Mary would not. Mary says in Luke 1:48, halfway through, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Isaiah 7:14 tells us, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we know means God with us. Elizabeth herself called Mary blessed. Let's read Luke 1:45. And blessed is she who believed that he would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Elizabeth talks about Mary and her belief. Mary believed what the Lord said and what he would do. Mary was not any different than any other woman. I bring this up again. God had chosen a servant of the Lord, and she was favored by the Lord. Luke 1:28. In the beginning, Eve, along with Adam, took the fruit and ate, and death came. Genesis 3:7. Mary conceived by the Spirit and gave birth to our Savior, and joy was brought. The first Adam brought death, and the second Adam, Christ, brought joy. 1 Corinthians 15, 42-49. So today, we remember the joy that is brought through the salvation of the woman and Christ. Mary's song, a prophetess. Now after Mary and Elizabeth's visitation in Luke 1, 39-45, Elizabeth makes known to us that Mary believed all this would happen. Mary breaks out into a song of joy, great joy. David danced before the Lord because of the joy that he found. So as I was getting this ready too, I tried to sing Mary's song. It did not go well. So I'm not going to sing it to you today. And don't ask me afterwards to sing it to you either. But if you would like to sing it, go for it. But I don't know if any of you have ever been that excited about something, but you want to sing David dance before the Lord. There's excitement. Mary's excited about what's come to her. She's with her sister. Sister in Christ, I should say, Elizabeth. She's with a relative. And they're excited about the news that has come. Joyous excitement. The Spirit filled Elizabeth. The baby jumped at the voice of Mary when they first got together. It's easy just to read over these scriptures and just pass by them so quickly, but to really stop and think about that. You're meeting with someone, the Spirit fills you, the baby within you leaps at the voice of Mary. We can see that Mary's song here of joy is filled with references to the Old Testament, especially from the Psalms. As I referenced earlier, Hannah is brought up in here from 1 Samuel 2, 1-10. You can dig more into that yourselves in your own time. Hannah had given her child to the Lord, 1 Samuel 1:28, for the Lord's work. Mary's son was for the Lord and his work. Joy for all people. Good news for all people. Let's read Luke 1:47. Before we do, let's read 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Again, I brought up that Mary was a regular young lady. She was not different than any Jewish woman. Nothing special, nothing magnificent about her. Common lady. I am sure she had views, thoughts, goals, dreams, perspectives maybe even. The text, again, doesn't say this. She was a sinner just like us, though. We do know that. God saved her. I'm sure she lived her life doing the duties any regular Jewish lady would. Let's read 1:48. "For he has looked on the humble state of a servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." Those are pretty big words to say from such a young lady. And God chose Mary for a specific time. God knew Mary, and she was favored by God. God saw and heard her. She was a servant to the Most High. All who have come to salvation in Christ have been blessed by the work of Mary, by what she did. But God chose her to do it. So it was God's doing. God could have chosen another, but he didn't. He chose Mary. 1 Corinthians 1:26-28 is a reminder for us and a reminder with Mary too. But it says, 1 Corinthians 1:26-28. If you get there in the midst of it, that's okay, but I'm going to just read it. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. God chose Mary for a purpose and a plan. She wasn't rich. She wasn't famous. But God used his son. Let's read Luke 1:49. For he who is mighty and has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Again, God did all the work with Mary and in Mary. And she was not ashamed, and she was not shamed by Israel. God kept her and took care of her, and Joseph took care of her. What a husband is to do. I believe that this is kind of for men too. Are we just men? Do we care for our wives so that God is pleased with our leadership in the home? I know that it doesn't talk about Joseph a lot in the scriptures, but it does reference this point that he did care for her. He was a just man, not to put her away for her to be shamed. Mary submitted to God's decreed will and made many have and many have come to the saving grace of our God. That is joy in Christ. Now we're coming to the closer to the end here in Luke 51 to 53. Let's read that together. Luke 1, 51 to 53. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. There could be three things that Mary kind of points out in the midst of this: the proud, the hungry, and the humble. Or the proud, humble, hungry. It is possible with God that the proud person, it is possible that the proud person can be humbled. We know this from Nebuchadnezzar, who was a king who got humbled by the Lord. And he gives grace to the humble, James 1:46. And he gives food to the hungry. He cares for his people. He cares for those who have given their lives to him. Last week, I'm going to bring this up again. Last week I talked about taxes, high taxes that were going on within Jerusalem, within Bethlehem, all in the region. They felt the weight of society. I believe Mary would have understood this with her baby, that he had come for a purpose here. He was born for a purpose. There was a change coming. A savior was to be born. Those who are powerful become powerless. Those who are rich, no longer rich. Those who are hungry, to be given plenty. Our God does not think like the ways of the world. He is much bigger and mightier. It's not a coincidence that we have this story. It's not a coincidence that we have our Savior. God planned it out. Again, do you remember? I just brought up with 1 Corinthians 1:27 and 28. I'm going to read it again, though. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. God sent his son to despise the wise, to let low those who think that there's something, and then for them to be humble and put their trust in their Savior. Let's read Luke 1:54 to 55. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. We must not forget that God was coming to help his people Israel. He never forgot about his people. His plan was to save them and to give them joy. You can read that in Psalms 98, 1 and 3. Some people believe Israel, God's people, are done away with. They don't think that they're anymore. That's not true. God cares for Israel. He wants them to know his son. All the world is given good news and joy through Israel's planned out will by God. If it wasn't for Israel, we wouldn't have it what we have today. Amen. The Jew has just as much importance and opportunity to come to salvation in Christ as we do and as anyone else does. Again, if it was not for Israel, we would not have the Christ as we do today. Let's read Luke 1:56. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned home. There's a few different ideas on this, but now in ending this text, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, roughly. Some believe that Mary would have been there for the birth of John the Baptist. It may have been that this would have been around the time that the angels revealed to Joseph, as I talked about earlier, what God had done in Mary's womb and what he was to do and how he was to go and fulfill the purpose and plan. Some food for thought. We'll be closing out right away here after these questions to worship and song. But some food for thought for you guys to think about as we've gone through this. Some questions for ourselves. Do you believe that you have found favor with God? Does God know you? Do you know God? Does he abide in you as you abide in him? If you have these questions, ask yourself, do I believe the whole counsel of God? All the word is true. Not one piece is flawed. Be sure of your salvation. Know your salvation is true, not because a man told you, but because God has revealed it to you in your heart and from the word. Then read it. Let it feed you. Let it nourish and revive your soul. Like the Samaritan woman at the well with Jesus, she left her water jars because she knew, because God, Jesus knew everything about her, and she went out and shared the good news. Joy. Joy has come into the world for all people. We must not forget to be good news distributors. Take the good news. Remember the good news that we've been given. This Advent is excitement. It is excitement about what the work that has been done and the future glory that awaits us who are his. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for this work that was done for us through your Son. I thank you for each and every one of us and the lives that you've put us in, what you've chosen for us, and help each of us to be thankful of the lives that you've put us in. And I just ask that our souls would be revived in the excitement of this time and this season.